Good evening, dear ones, or good morning. Welcome to our midweek church service. To be in fellowship with you once again and praise God that He is in control of all things and that we can leave all our cares and worries at His feet, knowing that the best possible outcome will occur. So God's blessings upon you, dear ones, and our opening song for tonight's service is Christ the Lord has risen. Christ the Lord has risen for us, hallelujah. All creation joins the chorus, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing, O heavens and earth, reply, hallelujah.
Lives again our glorious King, hallelujah. Where, O death, is now your sting? Hallelujah. Dying once, He all doth save.
Love's redeeming work is done, alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, hallelujah. Christ hath opened paradise, hallelujah.
Soar we now where Christ hath led, hallelujah. Following our exalted head, hallelujah. Made like Him, like Him we rise, hallelujah. Ours a cross, the grave, the skies,
amen. And praise our Savior for indeed being risen and ascended up on high and will come again and lead us all home. What a time that will be. I ask that you please bow your knees and your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for making our salvation possible. And we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask that thy presence will be here, and the atmosphere that surrounds you and your throne be here as well. That this room may be filled with light, with joy, with righteousness and peace. And thank you so much for doing so. Dear Savior, we also pray that thy presence will be here. Dispel darkness in our hearts. Fill our lives with yourself. Yoke us with you. And thank you for taking our hand and leading and guiding us in the way everlasting. And dear Holy Spirit, we pray that thy presence will be here to lead and guide us into all truth, away from error. Let the shackles of custom and tradition and preconceived ideas and opinions be left behind, broken away, and that the truth as it is in Jesus alone may reign in our hearts. Thank you so much that we're a day closer to heaven, getting off of this wicked, sin-cursed, diseased, and sin-ridden earth, and be able to enter into paradise. Thank you, Savior, so very much for freeing us from death, and thus the grave cannot hinder your command for the righteous dead to raise and be taken in the air to meet with you and never more to part. We also pray that you'll be with our brother Mike and will please open the way for him and his family to move out of the cities and into the country. We pray for Ron that you will be with him in the injury that he suffered, and please let him recuperate quickly, and especially be grateful to thee for thy merciful kindness in protecting him from greater injury. We pray for Chris in the injury that, or in the illness that they're going through, and I pray that you will let them look to thee as their great physician, and thank you, Savior, for taking their case in your capable hands. We also pray for our dear loved one, Jake, that you will be with his situation, and please help his health to stabilize and the problems to not continue to get worse, but to be curtailed and possibly solved according to thy perfect will. We also pray especially that you'll work upon his heart and lead him to rest in thy love for him and in your sacrifice for his salvation. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with all of those that have requested prayers, and thank you for hearing and answering their petitions according to thy perfect will and timing. And thank you that we can leave all things in thy most capable hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So it's good to be back in fellowship with you all once again. And we're continuing in our study book of Acts, and we're at verse 29 of chapter 2. And the last thing that we were discussing was that Christ was not in the grave for 72 hours or three total days, complete days, but he was just in the grave a little more than 24 hours, about maybe, perhaps 30 hours, because he died about 3 p.m. Friday afternoon. And he resurrected early Sunday morning, just before the sun rose. So that's about 30 hours or so. And that's not enough time for his body to begin to decay and suffer corruption. And so that prophecy where David had mentioned that God would not allow his elect, his anointed one, to see corruption was fulfilled, and Christ was indeed resurrected before that decay could occur. So even that prophecy Christ fulfilled, and all the prophecies dealing with the Messiah were fulfilled to the very letter in Christ Jesus. So that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up at verse 29. Peter continues, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Now, the word hell here does not refer to some infernal cavern deep under the earth that the Babylonians and the Catholics and a lot of other religions believe exists, but it just refers to being under the soil. The olden way of digging potatoes out of the earth after they had been planted and had grown and so on was called helling the potatoes, or digging them up out of the earth. So they were being removed from being buried, and that was called helling the potatoes, digging them up. So hell was a term for being under the earth, and that's exactly what is meant by being buried. Buried in hell, buried under the earth. Put in the grave. So Peter here says that David had died, was buried or put in hell, and he's still there unto this day. Now that's some 1500 years later. So David didn't ascend into heaven. He was put into the ground. Was buried under the earth. And he's still awaiting the resurrection. And Christ is proof of this. Christ was buried, and then he was resurrected on Sunday morning. So he didn't ascend to heaven. He didn't go down into the infernal fiery pit of hell that the Babylonians believed. He was simply resting in the tomb until he was resurrected from that tomb. And so all those from Abel all the way down the line to the last righteous person that sees death occurs before Christ comes, have not ascended to heaven. Other than Moses, he's gone to heaven. He was resurrected after he saw death. Elijah went to heaven without seeing death. Enoch went to heaven without seeing death, being translated. Those that rose up when Christ resurrected, which I believe are the 24 elders, or those composing the 24 elders, those are also in heaven. But no other human being that has seen death has yet been resurrected. They're awaiting the coming of Christ, who will blow that silver trumpet and then raise the righteous dead. So they're just resting in the tomb. They're not going anywhere. Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6 say that when you die, you don't know anything. Your memories perished. Those that you love or hated is completely forgotten. You await the resurrection, and it's like you're sleeping. Amen. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. The same thing occurred to Lazarus. It was 4 days after Lazarus had died and was buried that Christ showed up and then resurrected him. So Lazarus was not in heaven. He did not descend into the fiery pit of hell, as the Catholics and the Babylonians believe. He was just resting in the tomb. And when Christ called him forth, life again came into his body. The breath of life entered into him, and he became a living soul. No longer a dead soul, but now a living soul. And he obeyed the command of Christ and came out of the tomb, still wrapped in his grave clothes. So here, as Peter is presenting the truth to all of the people that are gathered about listening, one of the very first things he's preaching is the correct understanding on the state of the dead. And he's connecting it with Jesus Christ being the Messiah. So that shows us that this understanding of the state of the dead is connected with Christ being the Messiah. It's a very important truth to understand. It's salvational. And a lot of people don't recognize the importance of the message, of the understanding of where the dead go when they die. They just take it for granted that you either go to heaven or hell. And they look at hell as being a fiery pit, a cavern. Some believe in limbo, where the dead sort of wait in between heaven and hell for the gods to judge them, righteous or evil, and then they either ascend upward or descend downward. In fact, the Catholic Church has a whole doctrinal belief on purgatory. And did you know that it originated from ancient Babylon? Quite a bit of Catholic beliefs are pagan in origin. All you have to do is compare what Babylon believed and taught and what the Catholic Church believes and teaches, and you'll see the similarities. And if you want to know a little more of what Babylon taught, you can go to our website, lightministries.com, and click on Babylon link there. And then click on Ancient Babylon, and you'll be able to see what they believed. And it's amazing to realize how much of Babylonian beliefs are with us today in the world. Even though ancient Babylon as a city no longer exists, as a nation no longer exists, their beliefs still are with us today. So Peter brings up.
Well, I want to say, just this week gone, while I was at work bus driving, I started a conversation with the person on the left of me as I'm at the traffic lights, and I found out that his friend died. And I said, I'm sorry to hear that, and we talked a little more. I found out he was a Christian, the person I was talking to, and that the one that died believed in someone higher. So I gave him one of your tracks, Elder Bob, called Life After Death. And he took it, and he thanked me for it, and I said, I found it very comforting when this subject or this circumstance happens in one's life. And would you know, I happened to see him the following, sorry, that was last week, and this week I saw him get on, I recognized him, we talked a little bit, and he said, I found that tract, now you were talking about how deeply entrenched it is, the belief that you just keep living on, that he said, oh yes, I found that quite comforting that the soul leaves the body at death. And I thought to myself, what? What did he just say? And I said, are you sure you read the one I gave you? And he said, yes, yes. I it says it at the start. I said, are you sure? He is very certain. And so it just goes to show. I said to him, well, it actually taught the resurrection of life from the grave, literal. And so I said, I tell you what, can I give you another tract? And unfortunately, I gave him the exact same track, not knowing, but I wanted to give him Is Death to Be Feared. But I'm sorry, I made a mistake. But he took it nevertheless, and hopefully he'll read it. But it just goes to show how deeply entrenched it is, because he was certain it was there, and I've read it, and I can't even see how he got that idea. One thing that Sister Lucy's brought to my attention, and I thank her for this, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago, she mentioned that when people say that when you die, you're in a unconsciousness. Is it that? Unconsciousness. It makes it sound like you're still alive. So you've got to be careful with that when talking, especially to people who believe you continue to live, because it makes them believe that you're still actually alive. So I thank you for that, because you certainly need all the help you can get in language to explain it very clearly.
Amen. And we'll keep that individual in prayers, dear brother, that, you know, even though he may have just skimmed through the track instead of carefully reading all that was there, but even in skimming, the seeds are planted and the Spirit can water those seeds and bring about an understanding of the truth. And, you know, it could be months or years later that it finally dawns on him. Yeah, I remember reading something like that. So we'll keep him in prayer. But praise the Lord for having the materials on hand and sharing with him. Praise the Lord indeed. But you're absolutely right. The teaching of the soul being immortal is so deeply ingrained in the beliefs of people that it can be a very difficult issue to try and get them to accept what the Bible states. You know, because you read in Ecclesiastes 9, 5, and 6 that we quoted earlier, or made reference to, that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that's done under the sun. So their memory is gone. There is no consciousness. And it's just like what Christ mentioned with Lazarus. He's sleeping. And so when you die, it's like being asleep. You may fall asleep at 10 p.m. and you don't know anything that occurs until you wake up in the morning, say at 7 a.m. So you've slept now for 9 hours without knowing that 9 hours has gone by. And you don't know it until you wake up and look at the clock. So all that time, your consciousness is turned off. And in death, there is no consciousness. There is no track of time. You don't know anything. The people you love, the people you hated, you don't know anything about them. You have ceased to exist for that period of time until the resurrection. If you've accepted Christ, you're in the first resurrection. You have immortal life because Christ has granted you that You have the right to the tree of life, which perpetuates immortality. Or I should say, perpetuates life, and thus you can be immortal. But if you are not resurrected in the first resurrection, but you remain dead until the next resurrection, which is the second resurrection, you will not have immortality. You will be burned up forever in the lake of fire. No coming back from that one. Burned to ashes. And something that's burned to ashes cannot burn anymore. It has ceased to exist in whatever form it was. It's just ash. And that's an important fact to understand. Fire can burn cement. I don't know if you're aware of that. If the fire is hot enough, it will burn cement. But if you put a certain percentage of ash in the mixture of cement, then the fire can no longer burn it, because ash has been burned up. So ash is all that's left of whatever it used to be. And whatever it used to be has ceased to exist forever. It's nothing but ash. It can't burn anymore. It can't live anymore. And the Bible says that even the devil himself will be burned up to ashes. And Revelation mentions that the devil's the last one to burn. So every one that has chosen to follow the devil and rejected Christ will be burned up, including the devil and all his evil angels, will be burned up to ashes. They will cease to exist forever. And God's entire universe will be completely cleansed from sin for eternity. And what a wonderful time that will be. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Any questions? Please feel free. Okay, let's open it up to a season of prayer, and whoever would like to begin, please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear Lord, for this time when we can put our cares away and speak to you and just lay out whatever's on our hearts. Thank you for listening. Like a father listens to his children, and that same love, only so much more, such a perfect love, is right there, and we are in that presence. We ask that you will call to our minds anything that we are doing or thinking that may separate us from your wonderful love. And help us to get rid of that so there's nothing between our Savior and ourselves. Give us a mouth to speak to others the wonderful blessings that you have for them and of the love that you want to bestow on them. Be with the brokenhearted. Be with those that need a special touch. Perform the miracles in their lives that are so needed. Be with each one of us in this chat room. Give us peace and hope and wisdom and the strength to carry on when we feel like we can't take another step. And thank you so much, God, for doing this. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Savior, I just thank you so much for allowing us to be able to praise your name, dear Lord, for bringing us through another week thus far, pleading forgiveness for every sin known and unknown, dear Savior, every unchristlike way, every unchristlike thought. I lift up all the prayer requests that have gone forward thus far this week, dear Savior, and from last week. Lord, you see each one, spoken and unspoken. Thank you for granting, Lord, according to your perfect will. Please be with each one here represented this evening, those on the phone. And Lord, you see the desires of our hearts, but my main desire is to be able to meet you in peace face to face when you come. And true enough, I touch and agree with dear sister Joan. Please show me and help me to get rid of anything, that there would be nothing between my Savior and I. I thank you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And loving Father in heaven, I just want to third to what sisters have prayed, that we are grateful for your just infinite love. Is the only word we can use to, as finites, to understand, try to understand something of your great love. I'm sure your sadness, the sorrow over rebellion on this earth that we've all had a part in, that your joy over us, we're singing, is even greater, and that we can bring this to you right now. That's wonderful. And the commandments of God, they are loving commandments. They are what a good parent gives his children. Good parents give their children. And what's more, you provide power to keep them. And they're just, that power is commanding, because you speak and it's done. And there's nothing that can stop it. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege of giving to this dear man that I mentioned earlier. I don't know his name, but he's got the funeral today of his dear friend who died suddenly. That you, Spirit, that you would be there convicting every one of the individuals that there is more to life than going to the grave, or going to the grave and maybe there's some hope of going upward or even possibly downward, whatever their beliefs might be, that have their roots back in Babylon the Great, that you would strive with them as you have been to convict them of the joy, that there's more to life, that someone's come back from the grave, especially if it's held in a church, that something of your word will mean something to them. Make it mean something to them, we pray. And please help that dear man read that tract again, but not if it was superficial the first time. Deeper, with a hope of getting comfort from you. For he does profess you, and he does read the word of God. And I don't know what version he has, but just help him find whatever there is in the tract to help him see that if it agrees with the authorized version, that there is great things to hope in then, because it is the most faithful Protestant of Bibles, the Textus Receptus, the one that we get from the church in the wilderness, the Atala, that was translated by the faithful Waldensians. We also uphold our dear friend and brother, Adrian, who is also sick. He's a young man. He seeks to do so much. And I relate with him very well because of his age, I guess, probably, and that he's single. And he's a strong Christian, and he is open to the gospel, but he's not open to receiving all the commandments of God yet. And the recognition of the atonement is a bit blurred. And I pray that, like you tenderly help us. You will continue to tenderly help him and especially help him overcome this illness and not do anything that's going to put his energies to the stretch that leaves him behind for weeks with sickness because of this stretch of his energies. We also uphold Sister Audrey, who we met through him, that she will see in the feast days a type, and not anti-type, something that has passed away, and the joy of accepting the antitypical Day of Atonement that we are now living in, and can't go to any other feast day because we are in the antitypical Day of Atonement until Christ comes, our High Priest, from the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, a fearful and dreadful event, one that we hope, we know, not only more deeply believe, but that she would understand the significance of just how the feast days were a moon, but the antitypical Day of Atonement and all that the Old Testament pointed to come has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled through Christ Jesus right now. And there's nothing of salvation we can do by keeping feast days to recommend ourselves before you, nor speaking in gibberish, an unknown tongue that no one understands, including the speaker. We also want to uphold my dear mum and others on the subject of death. I think there's so many out there, Father. I think just hearing Elder Bob and the comments in the room, that so many have a hope in death that is not founded in Scripture, and because they're Christian, it stirs us, it makes us sad, and we want to enlighten them, we want to bless them, we don't want to force them, but we want to use faith that you would give us love to work for them, labor for them, and to, of course, get warmth from any coldness that might be shown, strength from their cowardice to defend your word, to stand up for it, to promulgate it far and wide, to spend money, to spend precious time, and of course to pray and keep our communion strong on this very serious subject that Satan is, has, and will use to destroy our family and friends into believing that because someone knows something about you that only you know, it must be from God above, which is so far from the truth. God, help us work for our loved ones and those strangers and friends that are strongly entrenched in this, that just go by their senses, that we could help them see that the truth in the matter, and that we too agree in supernatural power, but that it's not all God. And to explain it with power. Spirit, you have the power to do this if we accept it and increase our faith, because we are facing, because we've read the Bible, we are facing unseen enemies, and we know that they're very clever. They know our language very well. We're told that Satan knows the Bible back to front. He is fantastic at deception. But it comes with knowledge, that deception, and we want to be learned as well, but doing the right thing, finding ourselves on the right side of the battle. I also want to uphold our dear brother Willington. Thank you so much for blessing him with an opportunity to preach this Sunday in a Sunday observing church. He is happy. I've spoken to him, and we are hoping that you will give him what he needs to meet the needs of the various individuals, and to especially not to keep back the evil tide that will seek to keep people back from hearing the message for this time, who will be attending this Sunday church. And thank you for the precious seeds of truth that have been planted that allow people in times of tragedy, in times of calamity, to consider the end thereof, where we're heading as a world. It appears that it's coming to an end, but what kind of an end? And what kind of an end for us as individuals, that these questions will stir them to at least try something perhaps they've never tried, or perhaps only partially, even Jesus and his words. We also uphold Daniel, a dear fellow that lives not far from us, a distant neighbour, a friend, a young man that needs great amounts of the power of his will to overcome a lifestyle-related disease that he can overcome. We pray the fear of losing his feet, his toes, and even more will concern him, and see the graciousness of you holding out more of his young life to overcome the battle with diabetes that he's brought on himself, and to see what a difference it will do, though it cost him the sacrifice of poor nutrition that he gets at this current time through his food. And also that you will help him see that there is great opportunities for him in Australia to get oral care, that because the poor man, he doesn't have many teeth, or any even. And thank you. I pray that he won't forget that there's always help available, in the hope that we can help him see you behind it all. And thank you for trying with him. And thank you for the good news that Sister Lucy's hearing from her children more often with her, with the impression you're putting upon her to continue up a conversation with them. We pray that it only increases, and that more meaningful conversations will be had. Thank you for forgiving us of long time ago committed sins and recent ones. Thank you that the path is onward and upward. We don't gain heaven by sinning, but by repenting through your grace and the power of Jesus' life in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Dear Father in heaven, as always, we come before you this day with joy and thanks at being able to come before you and worship together online. Of course, we come before you every day in private or shared prayer or both, but the fellowship we feel in meeting with like-minded people in other parts of the world brings a very special joy. Please help us to remember that no matter what happens in our lives, we always belong to you. Even when we falter, we are still yours. You will not forsake us. We have given our lives into your hands. We no longer try to make things happen of our own accord, but in asking for your help and in doing what we feel we should, we know that you are in charge of us and our lives always. Father, please help us to be more like Jesus. We truly want to be your children. Help us to seek you first thing every morning as Jesus did. Let our first thoughts each day be of you and not the requirements and burdens of the day ahead. We will never know fully who we are in Jesus if we don't spend time alone with you the way that Jesus did. Please help us to spend quality time with you each day. Please help us also to understand and remember your laws and enable us to live exactly the way you would have us live. Please help us never to forget that you paid a price for us and we owe our lives to you. Finally, Father, I want to thank you that we all have the opportunity to be among that remnant who will be saved and will dwell with you forever. I thank you for listening, Father, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering prayers. Well, that is wonderful news that Brother Wellington is going to be able to evangelize a Sunday-keeping congregation. That is wonderful, and we'll definitely be keeping that evangelistic effort in our prayers, and especially for the Holy Spirit to go beforehand and prepare hearts to understand the message that God will inspire Brother Wellington to give. So, amen. And looking forward to a testimony on how it went. Are there any other thoughts, comments, any songs, testimonies, anything else you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Oh, hello, everyone. It's lovely to be back with you. I haven't said that yet, although we've been back with you for a number of weeks now. As I was praying about the joy we get in fellowship online, which really, really matters to us way down under, a long way from everywhere, I was thinking particularly of dear Brother Wellington passing through Perth about 2 weeks ago on his way from Zambia to Brisbane, and the Lord organized the flight connection so that we had 8 hours together outside the airport, talking our little heads off, and just enjoying one another hugely. Prior to that, we had emailed, and I think James had spoken once or twice to him, with great difficulty, I think, on the phone. But having time together was wonderful. And one thing we did do that I want to share with you, we just in time rushed to the seashore, gazed out across the Indian Ocean, and together we watched the sun set into the ocean, as we do, being on the west. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Brother Wellington had seen that before, but it goes down with such splendor that you can't but help be totally aware, Lord, of our Creator. We are immersed in His power, His glory, His everything.
Amen.
And we all shared that, you know. We just stood there, not saying much, but I could tell that we were just sharing the Holy Spirit, I think, amongst us all. It was a very blessed time. When he returns to Zambia, we have only about an hour together. Can you imagine how fast we'll all have to talk in that hour? My goodness me.
We've got to take the suitcase that giving him literature. So we'll be talking and putting in a big suitcase for him to take to Africa. It's so much cheaper getting them via his plane. And even than our Australian Post.
What a blessing that James has the literature to put together and send off to Africa, where we know Wellington will make very great use of it in Zambia. We know him, love him, bless him so much, and I'm so thrilled that he's here with us today.
Amen. Oh, I just wanted to say thank you for keeping us in prayer. The witnessing on Sabbath went fantastic. No one stopped me. I went to Carmel and there were like 50 cars. And I don't know, I felt like I was almost in World War One or Two, where you have to be really quiet. But I said, just don't be scared, James. It's okay. What's the worst they can do? Even if they could kill you, I don't think they would. It's not quite, no one's loaded with a gun, but isn't that wonderful? And so, and they had another Sabbath observe, they had another Seventh-day Adventist church, which is another main one, not far. So we got to do that one as well, and there was something like 70 cars there. And, you know, you see someone walking around, but very rarely. It's all about, you know, I was just in fear. We kept praying before we go and just keep it down. We didn't want to upset anyone, but we didn't want anyone to go without something. So, it was something like 150 booklets on the wheat and the tares. It's harvest time. So this Sabbath, we're hoping, it's been raining all this week. So that, and the wind blowing. So we don't know how it will go, but the Lord owns all these elements. So we'd love to do it again at somewhere else, we hope. And of course the Sunday observance on Sunday, we went to Sunday observing churches. I went to three. And not as many people at their churches. The first one was the Catholic Church, and we got to put steps to Christ. I just got there before they finished meeting. I should have been there a bit earlier, but I was still there. I was able to do all the cars, including the priest, probably. I think it was his car, especially parked where it was. Yeah, and then we went to three Sunday observing churches after that, so the Anglican and the United Church, and then the a special fellowship one. No, not a Baptist. Oh yeah, I went to a Baptist, but I was too late. They started coming out, so that's for next Sunday. But you know, something to bear in mind. I think I mentioned to you 2 weeks ago that we ran into a Baptist church, and we talked to someone there. They stopped me in the car park, but still let me put them on the cars. Well, actually, the pastor of that church saw me going door to door, and he thought, well, who could that be except that guy that was putting it on the car? So sure enough, he stops me and he said, are you that man? And I said, yeah, yes, that's me. That was me. And I said, did you get one, or did someone take it off the cars? And he said, no one took them off the cars. I did take them. And then he said, you know, a bit embarrassed on behalf of his wife, he said his wife threw it out. He said, but it was accidental. She thought that I didn't want to look at it, or that I was finished with it. So I said, well, would you like another one? Because I just so happened, I was impressed weeks ago to carry that specific title along with a few other tracks, because I got to, you know, have it on my back, which Lucy's kindly put a pillow on, because I can't sleep very well after I've been out. It just hurts the back so much, the way that it's designed. So praise the Lord, no more pain in the back soon. And, yeah, so he took it and we talked, and he was very strong. He's not too interested about works to gain salvation. And I said, well, that's me too, justified by faith. But it's an outward growth of that grace that's working within, bro. Don't you agree? And it's very easy to get him to agree with a lot of things. And he's very stringent on Sunday observance. I said, I notice you don't stress too much this necessity to follow all the commandments of God. But when it comes to Sunday, you seem, would I be right in saying you're stressing yourself in this area? And he said, no. It's just that they're always keeping Sunday, the early Christian church. I said, really? And he gave quotes, and I tried to correct him humbly. And he seemed to listen. I said, and also, if you want to make a quick buck, I'll give you $1,000 if you can show me in one verse where the Sabbath has been transferred to Sunday. Because he heard me. He said to me, what day do you go to church? And I knew he already knew. So I said Sabbath, and continued talking. And he said, oh, when you say Sabbath, what do you mean by that? I said, well, the only Sabbath that's mentioned in the Bible, the only day that has a name in the Bible. You know, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth days, just that. The first, before the day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and the sixth is even preparation day. And he agreed. And so he hasn't taken up the challenge yet, but I said, I can give you $1,000. I know a number of other individuals in America who will give you more than I can give you. They've got it in their savings if you can just produce one text. We're keeping him in prayer. His name is Andrew, Pastor Andrew. He's younger than me, and he's been pastoring a local Baptist church. We're hoping to go to one of his next week, but possibly without him looking through the windows to stop us, because he wants to know more. I like to think he does, and but I hope we don't get stopped. I really do, because I know that, I know it's, I think, I'm trying to find answers, Australian-wise, what the law is. This is one thing I want to ask you all. Is it, and I've asked Sister Lucy this, and I want to pass it on to you. Do you think it's a bit stepping into people's, you know, life in a very personal way? I think it is, but in a way that maybe God could accept in some instances. Do you think it would be crude or rude of me to put state, for instance, so we've got the tracks that you have, Elder Bob, available for everyone to print for free and give out and distribute for free. We have those ones, right, on the State of the Dead. And we also have a booklet called, with a nice picture of a rose that says, what happens at death? And it looks quite fitting for a funeral. And I was thinking, could I put that when a funeral started on people's cars, or will they be all, you know, really roary? I don't know. I've never done it, but I'm just wondering, because that could be something I can do during the day. you know, I'd love to do it, but has anyone done that? I'd like to hear if any thoughts about this.
It's a beautiful work that you all are doing, dear brethren, and praise the Lord there in Australia, and Brother Willington that's able to be there as well. We'll be keeping you in prayer for sure. And actually, dear brother, some years ago, I would take tracts and literature and do exactly as what you're doing right now and put them on cars for Sunday churches, and would roll up literature and actually ride through neighborhoods and throw it on the driveway or what have you, being careful not to put it in the mailbox because, of course, I guess they figured that you would, what's the word I'm looking for? You would be invading their privacy. But I've actually been to a couple of funerals, and when I've been there, I've taken literature with me, and I've put it in the pews of the actual church. So, I mean, you're spreading literature, and so I don't see why it would be wrong to spread truth at, like, a funeral. You know, can the dead speak to us? And, you know, the appropriate time to put it then, because they've just lost someone, and they're thinking that they're in quote-unquote heaven, and to be able to leave the truth there so that they can actually get it. And if you see that maybe you won't be able to put it on the cars or what have you, I've even left it on the table, like in the vestibule of the church or what have you. So I have actually done that.
Thank you so much for that, Sister Lynn. What an encouragement. I should be thinking about you when I go out again. You know, I just wanted to ask. I didn't realize, of course, I could just go to funerals of people that I don't know. It would be optimum if you can put it there before they all come in. I wonder if that's a possibility to reach out to the most, were you saying, Sister Lynn, you went when you didn't even know the person? Would you say that as well? Because that's possible, isn't it? There's nothing the matter with that, is there?
Well, the ones that I had done were actually persons of either family from someone that I knew and was accompanying them or that I had known. But, I mean, if you're going as a witnessing the same way you go now to Sunday churches that you don't know or what have you, and you're putting literature, I mean, I don't know why it would be wrong to do that. I know it seems like unorthodox or what have you, but you're spreading literature, and I know that the Holy Spirit will protect, because he sees your heart, that you only want to spread the truth.
Amen. And I think you have to look at the real message that you would be spreading to those that have just lost loved ones. It is the message of truth that will lead them to salvation. And if their loved one is saved, it would then lead them to see that loved one again. So it is actually the best message of comfort that you could give to those that have lost loved ones. Now, they may not see it that way, but nevertheless, it is the truth. It is the best message of comfort that could possibly be shared with them.
I think actually Elder Rob has a track on his site that speaks about when we die, what have you, and to be, because I think I've printed, yeah, there you go. Thank you, Sister Michelle. The track is Death to be Feared. Right, there you go. And just interestingly enough, this year it was, I believe it was March, one of my mom's doctor's secretaries, which I would, you know, wasn't like a personal friend or what have you, but she died suddenly. And she was a very dear person as far as with the patients and things like that. So my mom and I went to the funeral. And yeah, I took literature with me. And even though my heart was beating kind of fast, I made sure to put it in the people's hands, you know, to say that this would be a comfort for you. And they thanked me, you know, because the thing is that you're telling them that you're sorry for their loss, but that to give them a little bit of hope.
Amen. And praise the Lord for the materials being spread like the leaves of autumn. And we pray that many more workers for the Lord will take up their duty and responsibility and further this wonderful work of filling the earth with the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. So amen. And we'll be keeping every bit of literature in our prayers that it will reach the people that need it most for just such a time as that, and that the devil will not be allowed to do anything in any way to snatch those silent messengers of truth away from reaching the people that God has prepared to receive it. I mentioned this before. Even tracks that were put on windshields that blew off as the people were driving down the freeway, even the track that flew off the windshield and landed in the safety zone of the freeway, God still allowed that track to reach the heart of one of the travelers. He was going 60 miles down the road. He was thinking his thoughts, I wonder what this mark of the beast is. And just out of the corner of his eye, he saw this paper in the safety zone of the fast lane area, the emergency lane. And he was greatly impressed to go back and get it. Didn't even know it. It's just a blur in his peripheral vision. But he pulled off in the emergency lane, carefully went back and picked it up, and lo and behold, it was on the mark of the beast and the seal of God. Exactly what he was praying about. God allowed that track that seemed to be totally lost. He allowed that track to find the person that needed it most. And God still works in marvelous ways, miraculous ways, to get the truth to the people. So praise God indeed, dear ones, and continue to go.
I was just thinking about the statement in the Bible where it says that the stones would even cry out the word of God if there was no human voice. And I'm thinking this literature is like a stone. It can cry out when a human voice can't be heard. It's a wonderful instrument.
Amen. Amen. And the internet is another, I guess, bigger stone crying out. I'm just praising God to have so much freedom of access for individuals that we'd never be able to possibly meet personally or write to, are able to visit the websites, they're able to get the materials and read it on their own time, in their own house, in their, you know, their own seclusion without having anyone around them. They're able to access the material. And indeed, the message of salvation is spreading far and wide. Praise God indeed. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts that you'd like to share? Any other testimonies? Please feel free.
Dear Sister Joan, you had mentioned, I believe it was in your prayer about nothing between, and it brought to mind the hymn, Nothing Between My Savior and I. I don't know the words to it, but if you have that, Elder Rob, maybe we could sing.
I'm sorry, dear sister, I don't have that particular one, but as soon as you mentioned it a while ago, I wrote it down to add to our list. And I remember the chorus, but I don't remember the verse part of it. So I'm going to have to listen to that and be able to sing it for you. Or perhaps the Lord would have you do that and be able to sing it for us. Well, thank you, dear sister. We'll be looking forward to that. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful service. Thank you so much for your participation, your comments, your testimonies, especially your prayers, and God will hear and answer every one of them according to his perfect will. Keep looking up. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you on Friday evening coming up, just a couple days. Until then, may God continue to lead and guide you, continue to hold you in his loving arms, and to work in your life to gain the victory through Christ Jesus, your Lord and my Lord. Well, may God bless, and I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. So our love and prayers are with each one, and thank you for the same for us as well. And may God bless you, dear ones.